Hey, John.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Evening, Lewis. How are you?
You get a nap in before?
No, I struggle to. It's not. It's the expectation that I have to, like, that I'm afraid I'll sleep through.
Okay.
So
That
I
makes sense.
just keep. Yeah. So I. It's. I sometimes I'll get an hour, but then no, not tonight. I did try.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm here, and I actually got it to work this time.
Ah, nice.
My phone and not being able to talk. So, anyway.
You're in.
So Ben has challenged me to come up with a what does he call it? He calls it a big hairy. A big, hairy, audacious goal for the year. So I'm thinking
That's
about
cool.
it.
What comes to mind?
Well, he's talking about that you want a task that he says state in positive terms. He says that he said that it should be, I should. Think about how it affects other areas of life and what secondary benefits and consequences will result. So I don't know whether it should be exercise. I was first of all thinking about exercise, but now I'm thinking maybe it should be something else. I'm not sure.
It's a tough one. He regularly puts that on us as well. It's like don't set small goals, basically. Make sure it's big and it's scary. Like a lot of that is based around, and I get it's a really, I like the way that approaches it. Because even if you don't achieve said goal, you become a much better person in the process. So like even if you get 90% of the goal, whatever that looks like, it still makes you a more robust and better person, because he always talks about the journey rather than the end point, right? So it's what kind of person you come in the making. So yeah, like he always pushes that on us as well to make sure that we drive for something good. Is that's in Ben's private group? Is anyone else in that group? No one else decided to sign up. Okay. While we're waiting to see who else is going to show up, anybody have any big wins for the week they want to share? They don't necessarily have to be big, just a win for the week. Don't make me call you out. Everyone has a win. Matt, what's your win? Always. No words needed.
Smashing the workouts.
Nice.
Yeah, just like I would say my win this week is so far very, very intentional with every rep, every set, and every workout. And ideally for all of us on the call, that's the priority to some degree. Because once you start recognizing what an actual 10 out of 10 workout is, then your goal shifts to wanting to compound as many 10 out of 10 workouts in a row as possible.
You probably know maths, right? Like when anytime you go to like to muscle camp or you train with Ben, right? Like because like you said, oh, it's like owning every single repetition, every single set in the whole workout. It's mentally draining, right? Because like it's not just like switching off and moving the weight. You have to think about every bit of the movement, but it does give you that extra 10, 20%.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, part of the primary message here at MI, building your resiliency in the four realms that Ben speaks about and preaches on, right? It's all through your training, ultimately. That's the first realm that spills over into everything else. Like ideally, your workout should be the hardest part of your day. And if it's not, then you're not training hard enough yet.
No, that's cool. Anyone else want to share a win? Because I mean, it doesn't have to be big, right? Like Masters mentioned, just hitting his training sessions as he should.
So I feel like on my 45-second cardio sprints yesterday, that I got a lot closer to 45 seconds before the energy I had dropped off.
Nice, nice. And that's still with the same output.
I'm going, and then I think at the beginning I was starting to have to pull back around 30 seconds. Now it's more like 40, 35 to 40.
Nice. Nice. Thompson, what's your win for the week?
12-hour day, still made it to the gym.
Atta boy. Atta boy. See? What's the excuse? Darren, I know you have a good win. Tell us.
Which one? Okay, I'm almost on my first 10 pounds loss in the first, I think about 3 weeks. Are we, Greg? Around
Yeah,
three.
there.
And then I've got everything together now, so I can actually finally start all my supplementation. And I got my testings in. They'll go out to you on Monday. And I think my other lab stuff, I haven't heard back from my doc yet, but I'll soon hopefully have all that blood work done. So everything is bottlenecking, which is great. Coming all together.
Yeah, you smashed it the first 3 weeks, man. Like, haven't missed a beat. It's been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I've been 100%, so that's pretty happy about that.
Yeah,
It's
that was
showing
amazing.
in your it's showing in your face already, Darren. Great job, brother.
Thanks, Mats. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's always good to have those when you're pushing 60, you got to make sure that the face doesn't fall down too fast.
The chiseled jawline is coming in nice.
Let's have it. Thanks, guys.
Darren, I really hope I have a face like yours when I'm pushing 60. I'm not gonna lie. I don't think I will, but I really hope I do.
Oh, thanks, guys. I must have done something right. You got to see my
Right.
parents. They're like in their 80s and they look like they're 60, so we're not far
Anybody else? Come on, jump in. What else have you guys done well this week?
I got one for you.
Go on, Mike.
Was that challenge workout? I started doing that and I thought I was going to die doing the burpees, and I ended up finishing the workout. So that was a win for me. Those aren't
Yeah, man.
necessarily the type of workouts I usually do. So it was good. It was a good challenge.
That's awesome, man. Like I look at those, right? And like I had surgery a few weeks ago, so I haven't been able to train for a few months now. And I was looking at those and I'm like, you know what? When I get back training, I actually am gonna do those on a Saturday to see if I can compete with you boys. Cause I look at them and like, those times, man, I could do those times. Yeah. Let's
See some of the
see.
guys in there, so that's really good, man. That shows their conditioning and their level of fitness, man. So props to those guys, man.
Yeah, no, there's some machines in there for sure.
They're really fun.
That doesn't that's not my type of fun, John. You're an ex-CrossFitter, man. That's your type of fun. Josh? Why is your name Michael?
Well, that's a long story, Greg. And I don't
Different
really have a
different life, was it?
I don't have a good answer for that, but for some reason Zoom thinks my name is Michael. And
Yeah.
I've given up on trying to change it. I've just embraced it because as if you might recall, every Halloween in my neighborhood I am Michael Myers. So
Yeah.
could have been the universe speaking. So but
There
yeah.
you go.
It's been good, man. So you're talking about wins, and I'll be quick because I know I'm jumping a little late. But we got snowed in, iced in here in the bayou, and bro, it's like if they think it's gonna ice or snow, the world just shuts down here, man, because we are not equipped to do anything. And but it was legit. Like today was the first day we could get out and drive around, and so I just finished the workout at the gym, and I started to you talking about the workouts that they put in the thing. I've seen those too, and I started to post Saturday and say, "Hey, give me something for the snow," but I knew Gavin would come through on that, and so I just didn't check my phone at all. I just left it alone in case. So, but yeah, dude, it's been a few days of kind of cabin fever, but a big win for me to just be able to break through and get some brownie points at the house, helping my wife knock out some things around there, cleaning while before like the roads thaw out and stuff like that. So brownie points at home, good workout. If you get the post-workout check-in and listen to you and some peptides, brother. I think that's what they're
My
talking about.
man, if nobody's here for the supplements, everyone's here for the peptides. I know you
We're
all.
here for you, Greg.
So I'll give you a little bit of a brief introduction to what we're going to go through today. I think some of the times when we look at brain function, we get a little bit messed up on what we're actually trying to do, right? So people will take, I remember, what was the big one that Joe Rogan used to push on his show when that he was sponsored to one of his sponsors, and like I remember looking at the back of it, and like there was literally not worth taking with the dosages that were in it in regards to trying to push brain function. And I think with a lot of you guys, and this is just what I see in general, maybe not so much in muscle intelligence, you guys are a little bit more clued in, but most people when they take a nootropic, they don't know what the task needs to be once they've taken it, and they don't know what actual part of neurotransmission they're actually pushing. So they don't know what neurotransmitters they're playing with, and they don't know what they should do with the extra energy or brain function that they acquire from that supplement. So we'll go through a little bit of that today. We'll talk about each individual neurotransmitter, the ones that we're trying to push, what supplements push them, but we'll also touch on a few other things. So we'll talk about like what supplements are affecting each pathway. But we'll talk about what we will talk about peptides as well, and I'll give you a little bit of nuance when you look at some of those. And then, but I think what for a lot of people as well is they don't look at what supporting nutrients are needed for those brain functions. So just as an example, if we're trying to force dopamine production, which is what most people try and do because it gives them a buzz, right? They'll try and push dopamine production with whatever supplement they use. They don't think about all the cofactors that are needed through this biochemical pathway. Like we'll touch on dopamine in a minute, but you need all these nutrients to make it work. So if you're driving that pathway over and over and over again, you get quite depleted in a lot of those nutrients. And that's what gives us, I don't know if any of you guys have ever played around with dopamine agonists, so things that boost dopamine, you can get a very much a peak and then a very much a trough when you've used them. So that's how we're going to approach today. We will touch on peptides and what benefits they have around this as well. But first, I'll unshare here. What are you guys using, if anything, currently? What are you using now? What have you used in the past? What works and what doesn't work? Nobody's ever used a nootropic. Man, you guys must just have good brain function. Bear, I know you have.
I have. Yeah,
That's
fair.
why
I
we're here.
Yeah, I've been using the N-acetyl C-Max, Cellink, and just straight C-Max kind of stacks. I think those are the main ones I've been using.
And how do you find benefit from Cmax and Cellank? We'll touch on those in a minute, guys. They're peptides, by the way.
Yeah, I do actually. I found the best combination for me is actually I'll do straight C-Max, about 300 micrograms. And I'll take that and then wait about 20 minutes. And I'll take, actually go to the gym, do like a pre-workout, and then come back. And I'll take the C-Max, N-acetyl C-Max, and N-acetyl Cellink afterwards. And I feel amazing. I'm usually good to go for like 3, 4 hours, rock and roll, and very focused, in good mood, no crash, and I feel great.
So, like, just for reference, and we'll talk about the neurotransmitters that Cellank and Cmax actually push. And in fairness to Bayer, these are some of the ones that are actually relatively well researched. The problem for most peptides now is we have so little human data, and although mechanistically it makes sense that they all should be safe, we just don't know yet. So, me personally, and everyone else who's taking them, we are the dummies to find out. But with Cellank and Cmax, which I'll touch on, they push something called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. This is what most of you are missing when you're thinking about brain function. Okay? Anybody else ever taken anything? No. Man, you almost have great brains. We'll go through some stuff today, for sure. Hold on. So, let me share. So, if you can see me click through this, yes? Yep, good. Okay, so most of you are fairly new to this process. So, that's pretty cool. There's loads of things that you can do, whether you want to go light to start with, even not looking at peptides initially. Or you can use some of the supplementation as an introduction to some nootropics. And there is so much out there in terms of nootropics. So this isn't an exhaustive list. This is just some of the stuff that I see in research and some of the stuff, most of it, if not all of it, I have used at some stage with varying benefits throughout. So before we actually get into what you guys can take, it's important that you understand what each of these pathways do. So most of you guys will hear the phrase dopamine thrown around so much, especially now when we think about social media and how these things are dopamine rewarding in micro amounts. Chocolate gives us dopamine. Some of the stronger stuff like class A narcotics will give us huge dopamine hits, and that's why they tend to be quite addictive. But dopamine doesn't just I love tyrosine. We'll go through tyrosine. Dopamine doesn't give us the ability to be able to focus for really long periods of time as the way most people think it does. What it does is it initiates effort. So it gives us the initial breakthrough to do the hard thing. It's why we get dopamine reward when we actually complete a workout. It's why we get dopamine reward actually in the pursuit of things more so than actually getting it. Okay, so you can think about dopamine as the initiator to create action. It also is associated with mood. It's associated with focus to a certain extent as well. And that's why people tend to obviously chase those things that give them dopamine hits. But when we look at it overall, as you see there, actually, it's a good point. It doesn't determine whether you initiate effort, nor how calm or sustained your attention is. That's important to notice. So when we look at like the nutrients involved in this, there's an awful lot. So when Matt, as you mentioned, when you're driving tyrosine is the initial precursor. Actually, it's phenylalanine, but then it gets turned into tyrosine. Tyrosine is just an amino acid. It's the precursor to the long way in which we produce dopamine. So we can use that as a supplement, and it will increase dopamine levels within the brain. But it needs all these cofactors. It needs iron. And iron is one of those things. Most males are fine for iron status, but I do see it in guys. Most guys don't become anemic because we don't go through menstruation. So we don't bleed every month. We don't lose blood. Most of the time in males, particularly you guys who are using any sort of enhancement like testosterone, are more inclined to higher levels of iron. But I do see it in guys who have low iron, who come through muscle intelligence. Also, what you can think of is something called tetrahydrobiopterin. Not going to go through the process in regards to this, but it is like a nutrient, but is needed to recycle dopamine. It's used as a cofactor, and that needs vitamin C and B2 to work appropriately. We also need folate, so we also need B12, and we also need, really importantly, we need B6. So taking vitamin C and taking a B complex while you use something like dopamine agonists like tyrosine can allow it to recycle more effectively over and over again without you burning through those nutrients. When you look at people who use dopamine agonists, some of the stronger stuff like Adderall extensively over time, you find that most of these pathways are really messed up and nutrients are really depleted. So when they try to come off something like Adderall, actually resensitizing everything to produce their own dopamine again is really impaired. So this is what most people want to push. They want to push dopamine because it gives them that buzz and it makes them initiate action, but it doesn't sustain it most of the time. What actually sustains it is something called norepinephrine. Norepinephrine is actually created from dopamine as well. So we create dopamine, it goes through the pathway, and then we create something called norepinephrine or noradrenaline for you lads in the States, right? It's not the same as adrenaline, but that helps with focus for long periods of time. And also for that, we need copper and vitamin C to make that transition. So we can see throughout this that we need loads of different nutrients just to make this pathway work better. So don't forget that. Dopamine, probably what most people want more of. Now, the one, and Bear kind of prefaced this a little bit, the one that I love and the one that I fall in love with more so the dopamine. I used to be a dopamine junkie. I used to chase that. I used to take mostly nutrients or supplements or sometimes pharmaceuticals that will boost dopamine. But what I found that is BDNF is probably the thing that links this together. BDNF is called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. It's not technically a neurotransmitter, but I wanted to put it in here. But it's responsible for neuroplasticity. So it's responsible for our brain's ability to create new synapses and create new pathways. That's why it's so strongly associated with learning and memory. And when we look at people who go through neurodegeneration, so like the stronger side of things, when you look at Alzheimer's, they tend to have really low levels of BDNF. It's why Semax and Celank, what Bayer is using, has been actually really widely tested, mostly in Russia, for its effects on stuff like neurodegeneration, stroke, and traumatic brain injury with really cool effects, right? But look at what we actually need for BDNF. We need magnesium, we need zinc, we need omega-3, particularly DHA, we need vitamin D, we need iron. All of those nutrients are necessary to push that pathway. Now, I will show you how we can kind of directly do it, mostly with peptides, but some nutrients, some supplements as well. But understanding that if you're deficient in any of these things, the brain doesn't work effectively. And as I go through a lot of people's genetics, you see a lot of people have issues with magnesium. Lots of people have issues with omega-3. You see zinc and you see vitamin D a lot, where people struggle genetically to take the precursors and actually convert them into the active vitamin. So that also plays a role here, right? You might think on a blood test your vitamin D level looks okay, but you might need higher levels based off your genetics. So that's worth knowing as well. Okay. Now, who here actually, I'll come off for a second. Out of you guys, how many of you have actually heard of something called acetylcholine? Anybody? Right? Yeah. Like really, really strongly associated with learning and memory. Also, really strongly associated with muscle contraction, right? So if you push acetylcholine too high, sometimes you'll get muscle cramps. People use acetylcholine before they train, not just for the focus point of things, but actually for muscle contraction as well. It's made from a nutrient called choline. Choline is massively underrepresented when you look at online. Nobody talks about it. It's super important, not just for brain function, but for cell membranes. It's responsible for lots of other things. But choline is really responsible for creating acetylcholine in the brain. 2 points for anyone who can tell me where they get choline from in their diet. Mostly. Matt, stay out of
I just unmuted.
it.
I was going to say eggs. Is eggs one?
Boom. So eggs is the most potent way that we get choline in the diet, right? So for most of us, especially who have genetic predisposition to low choline, you need somewhere between 3 and 4 eggs a day in order to get enough choline in your diet, right? We do get some in other ways. We do get some from red meat. We get some from shellfish. We get some from salmon, I'm sure, as well. But mostly you're going to get it from egg intake. So the only people, some people don't respond particularly well. Two eggs, but if you can take them in effectively, then great. If you don't, then it's best for you guys to supplement with it. Now, let me take you guys back. Come on, computer. So,
Greg, did you say N-acetylcholine or did you just say choline?
acetylcholine, yeah,
Acetyl.
sorry. So acetylcholine is the actual neurotransmitter. Choline is what we generally take in from diet, or phosphatidylcholine is what we take in from diet, right? Phosphatidylcholine is technically what we get from eggs. So nutrients that you need is choline. We need to get it predominantly from egg yolk. We do get it in other ways, but we also need B5, magnesium, B1, and iron. See how iron just comes up consistently throughout this. Most of you do not supplement with iron. As men, iron overload is a real problem. But if you have low iron, it's why like anemia or iron deficiency anemia, which we see more in females, is so strongly associated with poor mood and energy. One of the reasons. It's also because it helps us produce energy, right? But this is also one of the reasons. So we need all these nutrients. You know, those B vitamins come up here a lot throughout this process. Now, before what you find with the vast majority of people is they go straight down the supplement route. So like I have a brain problem, but very rarely do they look at the underlying mechanism at play. All right. Brain function is associated with whole bodily function. And I'll tell you how. So if you're aerobically really unfit, so if you have mitochondrial dysfunction, like where we produce energy, then brain function is going to be really, really poor. 25% of our energy demands come from the brain, and it only makes up 3% of total body weight. So that just explains how energy expenditure is massively taken up by the brain. So if you have poor mitochondrial function, most likely you're going to have poor mood and poor energy status and brain function. So when coach is telling you to do aerobic work, to eat an appropriate diet, that all leads into mitochondrial function, right? Blood sugar control is a huge one. When you lose control of blood sugar or your insulin is too high, we can't get those precursors. So, like I spoke about tyrosine, phenylalanine, or even like tryptophan for serotonin production, we can't get those into the brain at all. Okay. All these things will produce something called neuroinflammation, as we see below. Neuroinflammation is associated with all of the diseases of the brain. Right. So whether you talk about depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar, autism, all of those, ADHD is a really strong one as well. All of those have an element of neuroinflammation. Just think about it as brain on fire. When we look at neuroinflammation, unless you actually dampen that, you're not going to produce neurotransmitters effectively. Okay. And neuroinflammation comes from. It can happen directly in the brain from like traumatic brain injury, infection, things like that. But most of it is coming from somewhere here below. So, like, you have fatty liver, you have cardiovascular issues, you've got gut issues, you've got kidney dysfunction, whatever it is, some sort of dysfunction from the neck down affects how your brain's going to work. Okay. Methylation is just think about this as genetic issues. So, some of you guys, I've done your genetics. And you'll check for homocysteine on a blood test, and you'll find out if you actually have some sort of issues around methylation. Methylation is directly responsible for neurotransmitter production. Spoke about iron, but then we have chronic cortisol elevation. So you guys who either cannot tolerate stress because you have problem with your mitochondria or blood sugar or inflammation, or you guys who actually have too much burden of stress will mean that you do not produce neurotransmitters. And then one thing that comes up, and that's mostly because it's true to it's more my love is gut function. Gut function has this bidirectional relationship directly to the brain. It's interesting because people who have leaky gut, this is actually the same with fatty liver, people who have leaky gut, their number one complaint outside of the gut is brain fog and depression. Okay. So if you're coming in with some of these problems first, you can still use some of these supplements in the meantime, but you have to find this underlying problem. Okay. Now, to actually get into this stuff, now that we've gone through in terms of a little bit of what the science looks like or the underlying problems, we can actually get into what can we actually use to increase each pathway. Now, for dopamine directly. These are the nutrients that tend to work really, really well. L-tyrosine works, man. Matt's mentioned it. Like you take 1,000 milligrams of L-tyrosine, you're going to get a kick up the ass, right? And it's going to work really, really well for a period of time. Some people don't break down dopamine well genetically. So sometimes you will get a little bit of this peak and trough. So always start minimal effective dose. If you have a task that you need to do and you've been putting off, using something like L-tyrosine can be a really effective way for you to initiate that task, right? Mercunopurines will do it, prurines will do it as well. This actually has the precursor to dopamine because it goes L-tyrosine, L-DOPA, dopamine. Mercunopurines actually carry some L-DOPA in it. Now, mercunopurines is also quite potent. So just be aware with it. Now, always start with minimal effective dose. If you're playing with tyrosine, start with 250 to 500 milligrams. If you're starting with mercunopurines, start with 100 milligrams. See how you respond. Yeah, Matt. No, like I mean, some people are really, really good at breaking down dopamine. So they don't have particular issues. They can take L-tyrosine, they can get a nice kick up the ass like you do pre-training, and then it finishes. For me, I don't break it down particularly well. So I will get an element of you get these intermediates called Dopal and Dopac, and they do give you an element of a little bit of anxiety that comes with it. And then vitamin B6 is needed in its active form. So 5 to 25 milligrams will be really effective there. And there is supplements out there where you can get a lot of these in combination, which will be really good for dopamine production. Do it early in the day. It will affect sleep. Now, BDNF, my personal favorite. The most potent way to increase BDNF is aerobic work, not strength training, it's aerobic work. So I've try to hack this in some ways. So, like if I've got something really dense or something I'm resistant to learn because it's difficult, I will use BDNF to try and drive that. Okay, so I would normally do aerobic work, then I would take lion's mane with curcumin, right? And that really dials me into the whatever learning that I'm trying to do. So I tend to use dopamine agonists for longer tasks that aren't as mentally taxing. I'll use BDNF to try and push something that's quite mentally taxing. We can see other things work there as well. Vitamin D, DHA seems to work, but I find lion's mane to be really effective here. If I get a lull in the middle of the day on hard tasks, 3 grams of lion's mane will pull you through. It's funny, like my brother-in-law, no interest in health and fitness, right? But he turned around to me the other day, he goes, I've been getting this can of coffee from Costa, and it's got lion's mane in it. It really gives me a buzz. It's like it does, man. Like it's quite a potent way to increase BDNF. Okay, but curcumin does work as well. Some of the more bioavailable forms, like Novasol curcumin, will work well. So there are ways that you can increase it, and I would love to get feedback at some stage from you, one of you guys, if you do 30 minutes of aerobic work before a difficult task, then take 3 grams, maybe start a little bit lighter of lion's mane and tell me how you get on. So those things work really, really well. And then when you look at acetylcholine, so if you really need like learning and memory, sometimes I combine BDNF with acetylcholine because BDNF will create the new synapses. Acetylcholine will actually help you with the learning and the retention of the information as well. Now, a few different ways here. The most common way that you see with people to do this is through a supplement called Alpha GPC. Alpha GPC increases it quite readily in the brain. It passes the blood-brain barrier really effectively. And somewhere between 300 and 600 milligrams is really effective for it. Taking that in combination with L-carnitine is a particularly effective way to do it as well. So you can use all these in combination sometimes. Again, just don't take them too close to bedtime. They can be stimulatory. Now, BDNF, acetylcholine, not so much. Dopamine agonists are quite stimulatory. Okay. So alpha GPC and tyrosine, they're probably going to be your most effective ways at increasing brain function along with aerobic work and lion's mane. Now, I just wanted to put these in here. There are super aggressive approaches in order to drive dopamine or acetylcholine. And modafinil seems to be the most popular now in terms of pharmaceuticals. It is better than Adderall in a lot of ways because it doesn't actually dramatically increase the level of dopamine. It seems to keep dopamine, it blocks the reuptake of it. So dopamine stays in the synapse for longer and works for longer. The only problem with stuff like modafinil is if you take it, you need to take it at 6 a.m. and you'll still have effects of it sometimes by the time you go to bed. It's that strong. And some of the racetams are really, really effective at increasing acetylcholine for learning and memory. I put these in here not for you guys to go and take them, but just to show that there is pharmaceuticals out there that work really well. I've messed around with both of these at some stage. It's not really something I use particularly often anymore because I find them just a little bit too aggressive. Dopamine or Modafinil, I've played around with most dosages, 50, 100, 200 milligrams. And if you're going to try them, always minimal effective dose. Now, peptides. Let me just ask you guys first. What peptides have you guys used, if any? Go on, John.
I've used BC, is it BC-157, along with the T500, and now I'm on Epithalon with the TA1.
Thymus and alpha, yeah. So John's been using stuff for muscle repair. So like BPC is quite popular now, TB500 or TB4. Not the same, but act kind of similarly. They're really good for tissue repair. They actually do increase blood flow to the brain as well. So they do increase nitric oxide production. So they do have a lot of benefits there. So BPC has been used in mice. So there's very little human research on BPC, but it's been used in mice. Mice get a terrible time, man. So they got them addicted to methamphetamine. And then remove the methamphetamine, so they're obviously skagging like hell. But they noticed that if they gave them BPC, it resensitized dopamine receptors in the brain to their own endogenous dopamine. So there's probably an element of BPC can be used in addiction, which is interesting. Now he's using thymus and alpha and Epitalon. They're more for longevity. GHK is an interesting one. So, like Thompson mentioned, GHK. GHK also has shown brain benefits. It's not a direct brain peptide, though. So, GHK is a copper peptide that's shown to increase collagen production. It also turns on and off a lot of positive genes and acts really as a really strong antioxidant. It's one of the safer peptides that's been known to take pretty well researched in humans. But Thompson's using it for, which is really cool and actually has some really positive effects, is actually the use of it for hair loss, because it increases blood flow to the scalp if that's the main problem. So GHK has been used pretty successfully in treatment there. It's also really, really good for skin health. So for any of you boys who are wrinkling a little bit too early, it's great as a face cream.
Hey, if we're like over 90% similar in DNA to gorillas, why are we not injecting some gorillas with peptides for this stuff?
They always start with really low order animals first. Like, you know, they do like worms and C. elegans and, mice initially, and then they tend to move up to monkeys and stuff like that. So that tends to be how it works and as they move through. Now, I don't think they'll do it with gorillas. I think people would get pissed off if we did it with gorillas, but people don't seem to care so much about smaller monkeys. But yeah, like it's a tricky one, right? Because it's making your oh, it is it making your head itchy. I've never heard that side effect. But although like injectable GHK is supposed to hurt like hell, I've never actually used it. But yeah, so like GHK can be particularly effective when we look at peptides as well. There's so many out there, it's hard to see through the noise with regards to all of it, like what works and what doesn't. But the problem is most of it doesn't have human research. That's the difficult part. So what's been shown to be particularly effective? So a lot of these have side effects, positive side effects of working at the brain, but it's not their main mechanism. I'm going to show you the main ones that have been shown benefit directly in the brain. So, and I'll tell you which ones actually have, if any, human research. So, probably the most under research is one called Dihexa, which can actually be taken orally, comparable to the rest of them. So Dihexa has been shown to be really, really affected with learning and memory, and strong synaptogenesis, which means that it helps to connect neurons in the brain. I've never actually tried it, mostly because I can't source it. a good one anyway. But Dihex has been shown to be really, really effective with learning memory. Has some research in mice shown to be effective with neurodegeneration as well. But probably the two ones that have been studied the most potent is cerebrolysin. So cerebrolysin is, for apologies if any of you are Jewish or Muslim, is derived from pig brain. Now, people will always get a little bit like worried because of some of the diseases associated with pig brain, but it's been so broken down from its initial form that it almost basically doesn't represent brain anymore. And it's been used extensively in research, predominantly in Russia and Belarus through the years. And you trust Russian research because they'll try it on anybody. But it's been shown to have really positive effects, predominantly an increasing acetylcholine, but it has massive effects on BDNF. It also helps with repairing the brain, and it's been shown to be really effective. They've used it with traumatic brain injury, they've used it with stroke, they've used it with neurodegeneration, they've used it with depression, all with really positive outcomes with little to no side effects except site-specific injection. Now, the main problem with cerebrolysin is it's hard to source. So that makes it a little bit more difficult, but this is the most potent, I believe, brain-derived peptide that we have. I've used it personally. I did manage to source it once upon a time, although I lost that source, and it is extremely, extremely effective, not just with mood, but with learning capacity. So I noticed I would take cerebrolysin first thing in the morning, and my mood would instantly shift to a positive one. So yeah, it is really, really effective. Another one that I'm not going to go through all of these, but one of the other ones that's really, really effective is Semax or Celank, which Bayer is taking, and these also help to increase acetylcholine, but also increase brain-derived neurotrophic factor as well. So you see a lot of people are taking these in combination now. Cerebrolysin kind of gives the equipment for or the building blocks for brain function, and Cmax just comes in then and uses that to create new synapses and improve brain function. They're really, really potent, but seem to be really, really safe at the same time, and they have loads of human research. I use myself as a dummy quite regularly. So I've played some games around with some of these. I've used cerebrolysin with Cmax, with aerobic work, with lion's mane all in the same day. And lion's mane, unfortunately, when you add it to these things, it's like putting a firecracker on a rocket. It doesn't really do much, because these things are so potent in what they do. So these are the peptides that I would use initially, and probably the most effective and easy one to get. Cmax and Celank you can get readily from good sources online. And if you don't like, or you don't like, if you don't like or don't like the idea of injection, Cmax you can get, and Celank as well, you can get as nose sprays. Now, when you take it nasally, it'll give you slightly bigger peak, but it doesn't last as long. That's the only thing. So if you did, I've done it before, like I think we used to put it down as like two sprays in each nose, and it would last me about an hour, 90 minutes of concentrated work. So that could be an easy in for a lot of you guys who haven't used peptides in the past or aren't willing to inject. Now, these don't have direct brain activity, but some of the mitochondrial peptides will increase brain function because, like I said, brain is accountable for 25% of total energy need, but only 3% of mass. And SS31 and MOTC have shown really cool benefits around brain function, mostly in mice, although SS31 is has recently been approved by the FDA. So it is actually a drug that they use in something called Bart syndrome, which is a genetic mitochondrial dysfunction. But these things help to stabilize your mitochondria and make them more efficient. And then MOTC acts as a powerhouse. So it means that like the efficiency of mitochondria and energy production go up quite dramatically in response to these things. So I think in certain circumstances, for people, the use of these peptides initially might be a better approach before you start using some of the other ones, because these will improve dramatically your ability to be able to produce energy, which energy is responsible for all neurotransmitter production. And then you can go and use some of the things that actually increase them directly. But I would think about it in this way, guys. For most of you, where to start? Always think, I put in the class A drugs there just so I could finish the whole cycle. Don't use class A drugs. Underlying problem first. You can use nutrients and precursors or peptides at the same time, but I would always be looking to try and find what's my underlying problem that's inhibiting my ability to be able to think with clarity and follow through on tasks and complete tasks. Is it blood sugar problems? Is it iron dysregulation? Is it aerobic capacity? Is there something wrong with your gut? All those things will lead to poor brain function. So follow and find the underlying problem. You can use the nutrients then, you can use the precursors, you can use the peptides while you're waiting. But you have to be searching for the initial problem, right? Otherwise, you're just chasing your tail, using these things as a band-aid for a problem that's probably somewhere from the neck down, right? Then you can look at something like pharmaceuticals, right? I wouldn't necessarily go down the pharmaceutical route, right? Because I just find some of the things are a little bit too potent. They are a slightly more addictive tendencies than the rest of them. So pharmaceuticals, I just put in as an option. And if all of these don't work, then you can try class A's. But chase underlying problem first, right? What is your major issue? Now, I'd love to know if any of you guys have any questions on any or broader. Do you have a preferred lion's mane supplement? Yes. Real mushrooms, it's called. And in fairness to lion's mane or real mushrooms, it's cheap and cheerful. So they're not particularly expensive as far as supplements go. So lion's mane is a really good place to start after your aerobic work. One thing I didn't discuss here, which is just worth noting, right? If you have poor blood flow, that's going to affect brain function. So, like, if you've got gnarly looking toenails, if you've got discoloration in your lower leg, anything like that, it's going to affect brain function. It's just a little bit, it just would have made this talk a little bit too broad. That's why I didn't really go through it in detail. So, I got that. Lion's mane supplement. Anyone else got any questions in it for this? So NAC won't. NAC will be more responsible for as an antioxidant, which is really positive. Right. So NAC won't play a role. NAD is a electron donor in our mitochondria. So what it does is it like the energy production is just playing hot potato with electrons. You pass them around the body or around the mitochondria till eventually they get to something called the electron transport chain. At the end, they make energy or ATP. NAD is one of the things that plays hot potato and passes it around. NAD won't deplete nutrients per se. By itself. The thing about NAD is it has to get converted into usable NAD plus, which can be an issue for some people. But I'm not bought on NAD as a supplement yet. I think something like NR, like nicotinamide riboside, might be more effective than NAD by itself. And high, really high dose niacin or NAD can have its own problems around liver function. NADH, So you use NADH for something slightly different. So you use NADH because, do you mind me saying in terms of the genetic? So Thompson has a genetic issue with something called G6PD, which is one of the things that's responsible as our antioxidant defense, right? Long story, but our ability to be able to quench antioxidants. And you've got NADPH. That helps to recycle glutathione, which helps to recycle vitamin E, which helps to recycle vitamin C. He's got a problem with this initial spot. What NAD does there is it actually helps as a precursor to actually help NADPH work a little bit better. So we're looking at it a slightly different way. We're not using as nearly as a high dose, so that's not a problem.
What's the most common side effect that you've received being reported for the use of like peptides or certain peptides?
Yes, Lewis, it's injectable. So most of the time with the ones mentioned here, Dihexa, I don't know because I don't know many people that's taken it. Now, I don't think we've any seen major side effects. Most of it is just site specific. So the actual injection point, it gets quite, so some people it gets quite sore depending on the peptide. Like I mentioned with Thompson, like GHK does get quite sore apparently, injectable. But with Semax, Selank, there's very little side effects. I imagine some people, if you drive those pathways, might get a little bit of agitation or anxiety, but predominantly nothing. So, like if you look at cerebralisin, Semax, Selank in the Russian research, they basically just go, we didn't have anything, and they've played around with crazy high dosages. My only fear, and I don't know how true this is going to be, when you buy peptides online. We know that their purity is there, right, from certain websites, not from all of them, but we know the purity is there. But when they actually produce these peptides, they use E. coli to help with the strain, which is fine. Loads of different, like there's certain foods, nutrients that use E. coli to do that. But sometimes with some of them, you'll have some of E. coli's outer shell left. That's called a lipopolysaccharide. I imagine there's going to be an issue injecting that straight systemically. But we know nothing about it. That's why we're dummies. It's a tricky one. It is a tricky one. Now, what I'm probably going to do at some stage is get a batch from a lot of the different companies, and I'm actually going to send an individual vial. There's a company in the States that will actually test them for lipopolysaccharides, and I might actually send them to see. So that it puts everyone a little bit at ease when they're ordered for some of these companies.
That's a great idea. And then for the individuals that do experience anxiety as like a byproduct of taking a peptide, what's really like the cause of that? Is it the stimulant in the actual peptide itself, or is it like more of a psychological acute response? Like, what do you feel actually triggers the anxiety itself?
I imagine it's just pushing those pathways too aggressively. So, like, even with BDNF, like, even if you take lion's mane at too high a dose, it'll give you a headache and can make you a little bit anxious because it's not technically stimulatory, but does give you an up. So I imagine that's mostly why you get it. But I couldn't be 100% sure.
Do you find that in general, people who are more sympathetically dominant are more prone to anxiety versus somebody who's like more like slower, parasympathetically dominant, chill, easier going?
From my own personal experience, I'd say yes. So I would lean more towards an anxious predisposition. And I know if I push some of those peptides a little bit more aggressively, I will start to feel on the anxious side. Now it passes generally. So like it'll just be the initial kick, and it does tend to pass. But yeah, I would say I would imagine it's more so that way, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, fair. So if anyone's on the call today listening to like the supplement portion or maybe even the peptide portion, that's something to consider potentially, right? Like if you're sympathetically driven, minimal dose required would be for sure the best place to start so that you don't psych yourself out or freak yourself out.
I always say to people like minimal effective dose. So like if I say I normally like with any of these, it's like 300 milligrams seems to be the introductory dose for like Semax and Selank and stuff like that. I would always say to people, just start with half that. See how you feel. Probably won't feel anything, right? But at least you'll know how you're going to respond. Because even with MOTC, in some mice trials, it shows anaphylaxis. So obviously, that's a really big deal. Now, I've never heard, I know hundreds of people and seen a million different case studies in MOTC, never heard anyone who gets it. But imagine like me giving it to someone, oh, you should take Mott C, and then all of a sudden they get an anaphylactic response, not to the extent where they die, but it's supposed to be a really horrible experience. So like even with like Mott C, I'd be like, okay, I normally say 5 milligrams. Day one, do 1 milligram, move up generally.
Do you anticipate that, like, within the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to see more facilities like where you can pop in and get like an IV to rehydrate or boost your vitamins? Do you anticipate we're going to see more and more of those types of brick and mortar facilities where you can just pop in and get a dose of a peptide?
No, I
No.
don't think the FDA will allow it. I think when you look at most of these, like even realistically, like you shouldn't, from a compound pharmacy, they should not be giving you BPC. It's not approved by the FDA. I think that's where the difficulty comes. I think, and everyone will say like, oh, conspiracy theory, this and that. I don't think so. I think it's because we have no human safety data. So like, although most of these seem really benign, and most of them are, they're still really potent. So they still do really, really specific things. So there's always a worry with peptides. Like I said, I use myself, like poking myself regularly with them to see what happens. But I would always be a little bit wary before you start throwing loads of different ones into you.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess on just like a personal level, it's fascinating that FDA that Ozempic is like approved, you know, and you can go get Ozempic with like the potential side effects and the downsides that come along with that, but you can't go and ask for like a peptide to heal muscle tissue, you know.
Well, like the interesting thing about BPC is it actually, like, I guess some of their safety worry with something like BPC, and it 99.9% won't cause this problem, but it hijacks some of the same pathways that cancer does. So it's just interesting. Like, I would be 99.9% sure that it won't do that. But that's where I think some of the worry comes in with some of these things. And I do think there's an element of they don't want these things available because they can't patent them. Like, I'm fairly sure of that as well. But I still do think that there's some, like, just because we don't have the research on it. Because, like, when they realized SS31 was effective, they patented it quick enough.
Yeah, probably not an equal balance of not enough studies versus monetization angle.
I
Pro
imagine
prob
so.
probably more on the monetization angle.
But
But who knows?
you consider, but that makes sense though, because you consider how expensive running a peer-reviewed clinical study is. Like, there has to be an outcome for those people who do that. And that's where it becomes different.
Fair enough.
Capitalism. It's capitalism, man.
Capitalism at its finest.
Still better than communism.
For sure. Been there, done that.
Anybody else have any questions in regards to any of this?
I'd just thought I'd throw out
Anybody?
there the
Go
CELLINK
for
that I've been using. It's actually been great as an anti-anxiety.
it.
When I take it in the morning, I take usually like a micro dose in the afternoon to kind of keep the mental focus. And usually it's I get done. I've got hours of just kind of calm, focused, and stuff that might have been stressing me out just kind of melts away, and I'm just able to get things done and focus. So it's been a great anti-anxiety. I'm not sure if that's a documented thing that it does, but I've actually had great results with it.
Yeah, it is like technically, but like what it should be is an anti-anxiolytic, if I can say that word effectively, because anything that's used to dampen inflammation in the brain will generally lower anxiety. Most of the time, where people see an anxious response to it is just the initial kick.
Hey, can I ask Bear a question? He just mentioned that.
Sure.
So, did you start yours that you're talking about? It's the what was it, the Cmax, right? Did
Yeah.
you start at a like a partial dosage and then figure out that the microdosing in the afternoon was helpful? Or just curious how you did you stumble into that, or was it, did you know what you're doing?
I started doing a bunch of just, I guess, different research using ChatGPT and just different AIs. Grok was interesting. They came back with different results and different suggestions. So I just did a little bit of research, and I started doing just kind of like a almost like a brain vitamin in the morning, and it was
did okay, but for me it was other level, and I've only been doing this for about a week and a half, where I just will take I don't take the CMAX and Cellink in the morning. I'll take like CJC 1295 as a pre-workout with some BPC, go work out, come back, and after I've done my workout and my cardio, then I'll take the CMAX and Cellink, and I'm just on a different level of clarity, calmness, focus, just rock and rolling. And then I'll usually take another dose around one, go for a couple hours. It's even been suggested you can take Cellink, like a micro dose, even before you go to bed to help with anxiety, to help stay asleep a little bit longer. I haven't really done that, but they've had, I guess, different suggestions of the impact it can have just with nerves and calming effects to it.
Oh, rock on, man. I appreciate that. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
Anybody else, Fuzz? I'm
We
sure
good?
I've got some more questions, Greg, but I'm gonna go back because I was driving for some of this, and so I'm gonna go back and watch this again and take some notes, and then I might hit you up.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
No problem at all. All right, boys. If we got nothing else, I'll leave you all to your day. Thank you all for joining me. If anybody has any questions, most of you have access. Yeah, everyone in here has my number, so you can always message me. Don't hesitate.
Hey, thanks for staying up late, brother. Appreciate it, man.
No problem, boys.
Thanks, Greg.
Have a good
Appreciate it,
rest of
man.
your Wednesday. Bye,
Take care.
lads.